All right. Good to see you this morning. We had a blessing yesterday. You can get your Bibles out, Matthew chapter number 7. We had a blessing yesterday. Rick Seatman Jr. and Debbie Latragna Sr., I don't know, became Mr. and Mrs. Seatman, and that was exciting, and man, just rejoicing over that. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse 24, the Bible says this: therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, well, I'm going to stop there for a second. It's one thing to hear the word of God. It is a whole different level to do them. I encourage you here today. There might be something you hear. Sometimes the word of God, don't take this wrong, Benjamin, or Jacob. I usually talk to Jacob. He's usually right here. You all right? You feeling all right? Benjamin's tired this morning. Anybody tired this morning? Man, whole world. All right. They mess with the clocks and just messes you up. Where was I? Oh, yes. Don't take this wrong. But sometimes we read the word of God and we get a little discouraged because we see what God says that we should be as Christians. And we go and we evaluate our life. We stand before in the mirror of the word of God and go, that's not what I am. But that is not license to take the word of God and just toss it aside and say, well, I just can't do it. No, I'm glad you're here this morning. Number one, to hear the word. Number two, I pray that as we leave, there will be a commitment, a desire to do the word of God. It says this: I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, I am thankful that we can build our homes upon a rock. Lord, as we, as fathers, mothers, young people, as we establish what our home is going to be like, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we can build upon you. Lord, I pray you'd help us here today, that you would strengthen us, and God, lead us and guide us, encourage us. Lord, maybe even reprove us where we need it. Lord, again, we need you more than ever before, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking so far this year as we've looked at the scriptures about rejoicing and how important it is to rejoice. The Bible uses the word always. Now, it's easy to come into the church house. Brother Rice helps us, leads us along worship and singing songs to the Lord. Man, that choir song is so good, and that's excellent. Just a sinner saved by the grace of God. Man, what a gift that is. And there we're singing, and man, the Holy Spirit blows over the coals of our heart, and man, that fire gets ignited, and maybe a hand goes up, maybe a tear comes down from your eye, and you just get excited about being a child of God. You come into the church house and you can do that. The word of God is open. Maybe the Lord will touch you with a verse or maybe a passage. Oh, this is my favorite story. I love this passage. And I remember when, or you have a memory around it. Then we leave in about 2.5 hours. We leave here in about an hour or so, maybe less. Wander back into our vehicles. Maybe the thing that you were listening to on the way in maybe didn't help prepare your heart, and all of a sudden you get back in and that song, another song comes on, and all of a sudden takes what you just heard and takes you in a direction. All of a sudden there's fighting in the back over ring pops. Halfway down the road, wait, I forgot my coat. You know, things like that. Brother Rodell?
Never.
And where you just came in and worshiped and rejoiced in the Lord in a place, and then you get back in that vehicle, and by something happens between this door and the next door that you walk into home, and kids are choking each other. You go to my room, you're getting whooped, you're doing this, you're chores, and what happened? Man, it's easy to rejoice in this place, but the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord. Always, and this morning we're going to focus in The home of rejoicing. The home of rejoicing. Maybe I ask that you, maybe this is just, I don't want to say a pat on the back here this morning, but maybe as we go through this message, you say, hey, as best as we can, we're doing those things. All right, be encouraged that you continue doing that. If you're here this morning and you hear something go, well, that's not quite how our house goes. Well, maybe through the Word of God and through the power of God, you can make some adjustments. I had at 10 years of age, I got saved very shortly thereafter, after my mom trusted Christ. It was my mom, myself, and my sister for a number of years, 3 or 4 years, through some formidable years of our faith. My mom got remarried when I think I was 13 or so. How old were you? Okay, so I would have been 13. And so for the first 3 years of our Christianity, it was just me, Rhonda, and my mom. And the Lord. The Lord was there. We lived in Irondequoit, and we had the benefit of seeing a dramatic change in our home. What happened? Mom won the lotto? No, no. Mom got a hold of the Word of God. And so did both my sister and I. Lived in a small little house. I don't know how many square foot the house is. I was thinking about it this morning. As I walked through our house this morning back in Knapp Avenue in Irondequoit, and there we were. That's the house that the Lord showed up and changed the course of our life. Didn't make it all easy. I remember times where, again, you've heard this, but there was a knock at the door. We didn't have food, and we'd come out, and our porch would be filled with bags of groceries. Christmases where, again, my mom would say, I'm not sure what we can do this year. And again, another knock at the door, and there'd be gifts and things. And that's how I was introduced to Christ. Saw that. Saw a lot of faith. And I had the benefit of growing up in what I would say growing up in a Christian home. I know we got saved at 10, but I got a little taste of what it was before Christ. And then we got to see the dramatic transformation. My mom didn't drink. My mom didn't have a problem with substance abuse. But man, her mouth was vulgar, and she would curse And she was teaching that to us. I remember as a kid growing up, getting liquid soap put in my mouth, just repeating what I heard around the house. And the Lord came in there, and he changed that language dramatically. And all of a sudden, Sunday nights, we're having people over to the house for fellowship, and Bible studies are happening at our house. And our church, our life started to revolve around the Lord and church, and that's where I grew up. I understand not everybody grows up that way, but I want you to understand that you can help the next generation to grow up that way, because here you are. You maybe are the, may I say, the mold breaker. Say, what does that mean? Well, Grandpa did it this way, Dad did it this way, and now here's you. And you get an opportunity to change all of that. Not because of a more better way, but a godly way. If you've been raised in a Christian home, you should thank the Lord. Because you have an opportunity to do something. And that is the home of rejoicing. I read the statistic. I have no way of proving it, but it seemed pretty legitimate. 93% of a family gets saved. 93% of the family, so the entire family, 93% of them would be saved if the husband gets saved first. 93%. 17% if the wife gets saved first. 3.5% if the child gets saved first. Gentlemen, you have a great responsibility in how to lead your home. I've said this many a times, when there's trouble in the company, we don't blame the cashier. Right? Wegmans falls, who do we go to? Do we go to the cart guy and be like, hey, listen, you're... No. When the company goes down, what do we look at? you go to the leadership. And gentlemen, we have a responsibility as fathers, and maybe I know I'm not. Remember when we did the series on the family and I brought in all the fruits and vegetables? I think they were all fruits or something. They're all pieces of food, but they're all fruit, but they maybe look a little bit different. And I understand your home maybe looks a little bit different. There's not one home that's better or worse, but I ask you, is it a home of rejoicing? Say, what does that mean? Is your home a Christian home? Well, of course. I mean, we have a Christian school here. It's located in a church. Well, just because the school is located in a church doesn't make it a Christian school. It's how we conduct ourselves. And just because Christians sometimes live in a home or in a house doesn't make it a Christian home. There's a joy, there's a place of rejoicing in the home when the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of that. Certainly a benefit of growing up in a Christian home. Because my mom got saved, it was shortly thereafter I had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit of God and God Himself is what saves. But I'm glad that my mom got a hold of that. And one Sunday morning, all of a sudden, we found ourselves sitting at a brand new church in Irondequoit, trying to figure out what on earth is going on here. No church house. My mom met at Pudgy's Pizza in Irondequoit. That's where they started until they could buy a building. We met in like some daycare facility right across the street. But the benefit of growing up in a Christian home, salvation was introduced to us. Not just salvation, but there was all of a sudden an immediate separation. I remember growing up as a little kid. How many of you remember Nintendo? Remember Nintendo? Thank you. How many of you remember Blockbuster? All right, good. So there was a time when we could go to Blockbuster, and as a little kid, we got some Nintendo games you could rent. And a friend of mine came over, and he brought one of his Nintendo games over, and it had a demonic theme to it. I remember getting back in the car and driving back to the video store to return the game because my mom was going to have any of that in the house. What on earth happened? My mom, it's just a game. Not in this house, it's not. Not only growing up in a Christian home was salvation introduced, but separation was introduced. My mom was 5'2" and about 95 pounds wet. But man, she was quite the watchdog in our home. There was a benefit in growing up in a Christian home. She created a home of rejoicing. I remember as a kid, her getting a hold of, I don't know how she got it, but she got a hold of an auto harp. And there she would play and sing. Home of rejoicing. Number one, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Appreciate my mom and the example that she led for us. I know everyone has a different story. This is my story. I'm just telling you. I got a chance to see faith firsthand through my mom. John chapter 13, verse 34, it says this, "New commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." There was something distinct about the Christians. It wasn't their outfits. It wasn't even their conversation. It was their conduct one for another. Verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Hey, if we're going to create a home of rejoicing, it ought to be a home of love. It ought to be a home of love. Maybe you have a plaque or something hanging on the wall that says, "Home is where the heart is," or something, "Love lives here," something like that. But to have a home of rejoicing, there has to be love. And this is the distinguishing feature of Christians, their love for one another. Hey, if you're a sibling and you're living in a home, a Christian home, do your best to express love to one another. Of all the things that distinguish a Christian home, love, I'm telling you, is the most important. And above all these, put on charity. Regardless of what your home, the actual house looks like, there ought to be love inside. Because I'm telling you, love, listen, love trumps stuff. It trumps stuff. It's more important than anything. You could be in a mansion. You could be in a mansion, and it's just a house. You could live in a tent. I wouldn't advise it. I don't like camping. I was getting a little nervous last night when the wind was howling. I'm like, oh, here we go again. I like amenities. But I'd rather have love. Show love to the family. Love cultivates love. Love breeds love. Examples of showing love. It could be just a kind word. It could be something unique to that one that lives in that home that they like. Find out what they like and do that. It might be just a little extra time. We have 5 kids at the house. We have 2 boys, 2 girls, and then Hudson. Say, where does Hudson fit in? Just right there. That's where Hudson fits in. And his older brothers are just in a different place in life. You know, he got Joe, who's 16, and he's Dad, can I drive today? Can I do that? And Hudson's 10. Joe's bigger, and Sam's bigger, and they're... But man, it means, I'm telling you, it means the world to Hudson when those 2 boys just include him in anything. Just shows him a little bit of love. Hey, Hud, you want to play a game? Hud, constantly. Do you guys want to play a game together? You want to go outside? You want to do something? And when they say yes, unbelievable. What is that? Just a little bit of love. Costs nothing. It's just kindness and love towards one another. You know what it does? It sets the spirit for the entire house. It turns it in, changes it from a house to a home. It creates a home of rejoicing because there's love there. Say, we just don't. Well, you better start because someone's going to have to break that cycle. Love ought not to just be expressed at anniversaries, birthdays, Valentine's Day. Hey, got you a flower. I think it's close to Valentine's Day. Here you go. That's not really a loving home. And everyone has a different thing. Maybe you've read the book, The 5 Languages of Love, and some people it's time, some people it's stuff, some, I don't know, touch, whatever it is. Figure that thing out to some degree. Also, be receptive of love. Understand what I'm saying with that? I got you this, or let's go do that. Ah, that's not what I wanted to do. Hold on now. Look at the effort, man. Love cultivates love. What was the thing that set the disciples so much apart? Their love for one another. When people walk into your house, they ought to see something different. Not just on the walls, not just at the table, not just in the garage. They ought to see something, your love for one another. Whether it's, maybe a senior way. No small kids. I mean, certainly small kids do hang out at your house a little bit. Jaden, small kids. We talk about that. Little is much when God is in it. Right, Jaden? All right. That's our song. But you look at that and go, you know what? We got no kids anymore. There's none of that. Love still cultivates love. Hey, I'm just going to let you know, one day in your house, there's going to be no more children. They're going to all move out. They're going to go away. They're going to have their own homes. And you're going to be left with somebody. You better be maintaining a relationship with that somebody. Love produces Which brings us to our next point, joy. The home of rejoicing ought to have love. Because of that love, there's joy. A Christian home ought to be the happiest home. When someone walks into this house, hey, there's something different about this place. What is it? Oh, well, we beat our children if they disobey. No. I mean, yes, no. Is that on, Bob? Oh, great. No, each individual should have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what produces joy. I understand not all homes look the same. But there could be love for one another there. Spirit of love, the spirit of joy ought to be there. As parents, it is our responsibility to teach and foster each member to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to model this. It's a lot easier. Remember that first verse that we read where we talked about hearing and then doing? It's a lot easier to just instruct others of what to do and then not do it ourselves. But a great disservice happens to our home. Remember, go to Job chapter number 1. We'll look there quick. I know, listen, Sarah and I are coming up on 20 years, and if I knew now what I knew then, man, I'd fix some things and done some things differently. Can't go back and change the past. But certainly can change the projection of where we're going. Sure, maybe you didn't do everything right. Maybe you made some big mistakes. You wish you could go back. You can't go back. But starting from this point forward, you can do right. Job chapter 1. Job, the Bible tells us a unique. Job chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse 1 that he was perfect and upright. One that feared God and eschewed evil. That means to deliberately stay away from evil. And the Bible says this in verse 5. And so it was when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Talking of his children. Job would worship and he would do some things. He would make offerings for his children. Job had a relationship with the Lord. And you know what? He lived it. He lived it. He was an example to his children. There ought to be a time where each individual in the home... If we're going to have a home of rejoicing, there needs to be love. And as love produces joy, the way we have joy is having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So each individual, this is responsible. This is your responsibility. To have personal devotion time with the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. Personal devotion time. There ought to be some time of family devotions. I'll be honest. Sometimes we, with our schedule and our life, sometimes that's hard to do. It's hard on our schedule. But I can make excuses or I can do better with it. I remember Sam Gipp was here and he was preaching and he was talking about reading his Bible. It was years and years ago when we were back in the old sanctuary. And I think he said like he reads like 10 chapters or 20 pages a day or something. Something like that, right? Isn't that what he used to do? 20, how many? 20 pages every day. I thought, man, I want to do that. Sat down first day. Oh. Word of God, powerful, all of it, but man, I got discouraged. And sometimes, maybe, okay, we're going to have family devotions. We're going to wake up 6 o'clock in the morning, we're going to have family devotions. At noon, I'm going to call all my family, and we're going to have family devotions via Zoom at noon, and then at night, we're going to do it, and then we're going to have prayer hour before bed. And all of a sudden, you make these decisions, and it's like, man, you can't, that's tough to keep that schedule. And we're like, all right, forget it. We're not doing anything. Do something. Maybe just a couple times a week. But your personal, say, what am I going to say? Just the thing that the Lord showed you on your personal devotion time. It just gets your family around the Word of God together. Because as each individual has a relationship with the Lord, you can all have a relationship with the Lord together. Personal devotions lead to family devotions. Personal prayer time leads to family prayer time. Every night, Hudson cannot go to sleep without someone praying with him. Can't. We'll tell him, you know, sometimes we have people over or something like that, and it'll be like, all right, Hudson, go get in bed. I'll be in there in a minute. And like within 3 minutes, Dad! Oh, I forgot. He's just laying in there waiting for you. Never falls asleep without you coming in and praying with him. He makes it. Now it's, I'll pray, and he'll be like, can I pray? How do you say no? No. No. Sometimes I do. Or we'll go back and forth, a roll of die, and okay, this is your day, it's my day, you know. But personal prayer time ought to lead to family prayer time, just like personal devotions lead to family devotions. What is the greatest joy? I'll tell you, the greatest joy is to walk day by day with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to have some impact in our daily life. Personal giving ought to lead to family giving. We have no problem giving to somebody else, but what about the person sitting next to you at the kitchen table? Personal worship ought to lead to family worship. It ought not to be strange to hear godly music coming from your house. Say, well, we're just not a musical family. I get it. I understand. But what are you looking to cultivate? What are you building on? The main objective is to see that each member of the family know the Lord personally. And are we taking everything in our home and pointing it towards that? We had Matthew and Emily over last night after all the festivities and everything like that, and he was telling us a story. They went home after the wedding, and they were back at Mr. Seatman's house on Redmond Road. And then Pastor Seatman called and said, hey, we're doing pictures. So he's like, oh, great. So they are coming in here, and as they're coming in here kind of quick, they hit a patch of ice, and their car is sliding towards the fence. Didn't hit it. Huh. Their vehicle was going towards what it was pointed at. As your family, you will go towards what you're pointed at. And if each member points their compass towards the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what's going to happen to the entire home? You're all going to go in that direction. The main objective is to get each member, if you will, in the vehicle, heading that way. That's the priority. I want my son to play professional football. Sorry. He's 5.5 feet tall and weighs 120 pounds. At 18, you know, I'm sorry. That's just not going to work out. No, your main objective should be, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Our main objective ought to be that each member of our family walks with the Lord personally. Again, one day, you and I are not going to be there. One day, it's going to be on them to communicate with God directly. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? On a less spiritual side, our family, the members of our family tries this regularly. Let's have a family movie night. How many of you ever had family movie night? Zero interaction with one another. It's pretty much the kids watch a movie, and maybe there's popcorn involved, but really very little family development. very limited interaction. Over the last number of years, we have taken to playing games. We like board games. And at our house, a great way to spend time together is to put a game at the table and we just spend time with one another. You guys do whatever you do. Maybe it's camping, maybe it's hiking, maybe it's going out and shooting hoops or whatever it is. Whatever it is that maybe you like to read out loud to one another or something like that, whatever it is. But there ought to be some way that you're making some memories. Spending time together. Not one of my kids ever say, hey, remember the time we watched? No, that doesn't happen. Dad, remember that time you took us for that hike? Remember that time you took us to the playground or when we did? Hey, don't cheapen your family by wasting it on the world's entertainment. Enjoy your family. Make memories together. The home of rejoicing is a home of love, is a home of joy, and that joy is the result of each member having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some sports teams don't do so well when some of the management wants to go one way and some of the other management wants to go another. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is great at doing, bringing us all under the head of Christ. Ephesians chapter number 6. Say, how many of these do you have? Just a couple more. Just trying to encourage you to make your home a home of rejoicing. Rejoicing comes from within, from the heart. And our heart needs to be right with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For a number of years, we had plants around the house, and they would start off coming into the house very green. And I don't know what Sarah did, but they wouldn't last that long. And then we started keeping our plants, this may sound strange, Stephen, but in our bathroom. And I don't know if the direct sunlight on that, that would be on the south side of the house, what made them happy, and the regular amount of moisture in that room. And man, all of a sudden these plants that were on their way out got a little nurturing and all of a sudden came back to life and grew. You understand, a person's just like that. Maybe in the wrong scenario or in the wrong system, maybe they're you've conducting your house as not a place of love. There's no joy. You know what's going to not happen? Not good growth in the Lord. And all of a sudden you start making some changes. And now there's nurturing and encouraging, a place of growth and strengthening. Hey, we got to be careful not to make it a place of criticism. Yes, this is not a lack of correction. It's not just, all right, everybody do whatever they want. But be careful. Be careful with your words. James chapter number 1. Brian Wilson's in town, so all the kids were gathered around, and yesterday afternoon, I'm sitting there, I'm just reviewing some stuff for today. Hudson's like, Dad, you want to see a card trick? Because Brian Wilson's in town. I said, sure. So he lays out a table, and he starts throwing cards on the table, and he asked me if I knew my card. He never showed me a card, so I didn't have a card to remember, to know, and it wasn't quite as seamless as I think what he thought it was. And he's like, oh, I don't know. So he just gathered, buddy, keep at it. I'm sure you'll get it. Maybe it was just a slight little tweaking. You know what that was? That was just a few words of encouragement. He's trying something. No problem, no good. Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Be careful. Be careful if we're going to have a home of rejoicing. Number one, it's got to be a home of love. A home of joy, which is had by each individual having a relationship with the Lord. But number three, a home of encouragement. Again, this is not a lack of correction, but encouragement to do right, to grow in the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What do you talk about at your house? What's the conversation? I mean, we can talk about the weather, but that goes away after about 2 minutes. You can only talk about that for so long. Do you talk about the things of God? Do you find out what's going on in this world? Hey, Dad, well, what's the deal? Do you think the bear out of Isaiah there is really Russian? And is hold on, let's talk about that. It's a conversation. At the end of the day, it's usually, I don't know, could be. We'll see. Right? We'll see. That's not really going to change much what I do every day, but it could be. What do you talk about at your house? Oh, we are a sports family. We know statistics. Man, wouldn't it be great if you knew all the statistics of the Bible? You talked about those things? Scriptural things? I like sports just as much as the next guy. But let's be careful that we, again, not cheapen our home with filling it with the entertainment of this world rather than the power of the Word of God. Our school, we call is distinctly Christian. Last couple weeks, we brought a couple new families through to see our school. Nice families, very nice. One family had three little kids, a second grader, a pre-K, maybe a three-year-old and a kindergartner. And we had another one, had a 12-year-old boy. So we're showing them the scriptures. We're showing them the pace work. When you open up the first page of our paces, right there, Bible verse, ready to go. Last page, Bible verse. Bible verses all throughout. All the context of the information. Biblical point of view. Man, wouldn't that be great? The minute you step into your house, first thing, boom, Word of God everywhere. Not just hanging on the walls. In the hearts of every individual. Make your home distinctly Christian. Not marginal. I was talking to someone last week, and they were talking about, hey, we're getting our house maybe ready to sell. You know what the realtor said? Take down all your Christian paraphernalia. Why? That's polarizing. You get a Muslim walking through here and they see all that, they're not going to want to buy your house. Good. Anyways, no. That wasn't very nice. But is your home distinctly Christian? Hey, there's a different spirit in this place. That is had by each individual making a commitment to love, to joy, to encouragement. We got a box of pears a little while ago. Man, they were great pears. Really good. Something turned on the one side of the box. And man, it took something really good and infected all of them around it. And it made it not good. And you know, that's kind of like a family member could be. Man, a whole group of them, and this one over here is just kind of contaminating. Be careful. Make your home a home of encouragement. And lastly, Matthew chapter 5. I like this one. We had a couple of the Martinez boys staying with us last week. Andrew, yes? And they were staying up in the boys there. So upstairs, it was Sam, Joe, Victor, and Andrew. I'm sitting in the wood stove room, which is directly under that, and it sounds like, I'm not kidding, it sounds like a rhino is going at an elephant. I go upstairs. I'm trying to be polite. We have guests. You know, I'm not opening the door. You know, it's like, hey, boys, what's going on up here? And what do I find? I find Joe pinning Andrew. They stop mid, thank you, Mr. Buck, for teaching them wrestling. They stop and, you know, Joe's got Andrew and this whole, and they're both looking at me like, I'm like, son, let go of Andrew. No, no, Dad, he's enjoying it. And I'm looking at Andrew. I'm like, Andrew? He goes, well, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, it said, blessed are the peacemakers. I know that was they were just having fun, and I hope they were having fun. I told them to stop doing that. That's not the kind of fun I'm looking for sake of Andrew. But if it's going to be a home of rejoicing, there has to be peace. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. To make peace is a commitment and a decision. I understand there's conversations that have to happen, and there are things that, wrinkles that need to be ironed out. But if both parties are looking to make peace, you will maintain a home of rejoicing. And the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. A couple generations ago, there maybe I remember hearing this a lot more when I was younger. I don't hear it as much now. There was a phrase, troublemakers. My mom would warn me, stay away from that boy. He's a troublemaker. Learned a good bit of advice. Don't tell the troublemaker that he's a troublemaker. They don't like that. You want to stay, what does that mean? They take good situations and try and make them, they bring malice, they bring anger, they bring problems to that. What's your home like? So we live in a one-bedroom studio. I can see the bathroom and the sink from where I sit in my living room. It's a small place. We don't have a lot of room. Yeah, but it's a home of rejoicing. Our house has 4 floors, fully finished basement, with a movie room, an entertainment room down. Yeah, but is it a home of rejoicing? The size of the house doesn't make it. It's based on the individuals on the inside. Small house, big house, doesn't matter. Is it a Christian home? Go back with me to Matthew chapter 7. As we turn there, I want to remind you that a home of peace is a home of forgiveness. In a home, every single member is this, a sinner. It's true. You know what sinners bring to the table? Sin. We're going to have to learn to be forgiving and ask for forgiveness. Now, we don't want to make a habit of it. Our conduct ought not to be, hey, I'm going to cause trouble and then I'll just ask for forgiveness. Now, understand, fighting is destructive behavior. But if it's going to be a home of peace, there's going to have to be forgiveness. There's going to have to be some grace. There's going to have to be some kindness. Matthew chapter number 7, the passage that we started at. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Whether you have 15 people in your house or even, can I say, even one person. One person, there's a lot of responsibility. You got to be the point of love and joy. All of those things. Each individual in a big family will have the same responsibility as the next person. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one The rain descended and the floods came. Hey, that's life, isn't it? And the winds blew. That's Rochester, isn't it? And beat upon that house. Hey, beat on the outside, but what was on the inside mattered. What it was built upon mattered. So I'm going to ask you here this morning, what is your house built upon? Well, we have a concrete slab. That's not what I'm talking about. I was talking to Paul Latragna. He's a contractor down there in Florida. So what do? He said, I build houses. I said, that's neat. I said, any basements? He goes, zero basements in Florida. Nice. Hey, what's the foundation of your house? Well, we got this dug out bit. The answer ought to be, the foundation of our home is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's a three-person tent or a 4,000-square-foot mansion, the foundation of your home ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ, to which you will have a home of rejoicing, a home of love, a home of joy, a home of encouragement, a home of peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is working in our life and the Holy Spirit of God is going up and down the halls of our homes, there ought to be those things. Say, we don't have those things in our house. So let's look at you as an individual. Number one, are you saved? Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, forgive you of your sins? Yes? All right. Are you promoting a home of love? Are you promoting a home of joy? Well, I'll start when they... Man, you're not going to win that way. Encouragement. These last 4 days, I'll be honest, and I'll tell you, read a couple verses in my Bible reading, and I actually preached chapel about it. Sometimes, I'll just tell you, sometimes I don't say nice things. Sometimes I don't. And and those verses really minister to my heart, and just, I want to be careful that I not speak evil and I not speak guile. That was 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11. There have been measurable amounts of times where I went to go say something and I thought of those two verses, or that thought, and I thought, no, that would not be good. I find myself saying a lot less things. It's just been 2 days. It's hard to change habits. But they're worthwhile if they're right. I encourage you here today, maybe the Lord touched your heart about something. Maybe it's your personal devotion time, your personal prayer time, your personal giving, your personal worship. Maybe it's the words that you say. I am guilty of not being encouragement to the people in my home. So what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help me. And I'm going to ask those to forgive me. Say, I've done that 100 times. Well, I'll do it again. And change something. I bring a lot of contention to our house. All right, well, how about you start bringing some peace? Blessed are the peacemakers. Let's all stand. Maybe you're a young person here today and say, I have made a decision today. I am going to build my house upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. That is a good start. That's the best start. In a moment, the music's going to play. Maybe as an individual, you want to come and make a commitment. Hey, I want to help my family. I want to help those that are in my home, whatever it looks like. Maybe even if you're just the only one living in the house. Maybe you've allowed bitterness or anger somehow to grab a hold. Maybe you live in a house of more than that. Maybe it doesn't look like what you thought it would or what you had hoped it would, but it is what it is. And, well, are you bringing love? Are you bringing joy? Are you bringing encouragement? And are you bringing peace? Maybe as an individual, you want to come and just talk to the Lord and say, I've missed the mark. I need a reset button and start again. Maybe as a family, you want to come and pray together. Say, we don't do that. Maybe today's the time you start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And Lord, our desire is to build our homes upon you, that when the floods come and the winds beat down upon our life, as we have the foundation of you, Lord, we would withstand. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today?